Father, we're thankful that you are the God of kindness and mercy and grace and forgiveness, and a God who enjoys and delights in working through weak people. And Father, we pray that this morning you would, by the mercies of your Spirit, strengthen us as we talk about ministry that you've been doing for a long time, long before we were created for sure, in a place that is very old to the world. And Father, that you would give us help and guidance and mercy as we talk about these things. Let us only say those things which are true and accurate, and also for the building up of the saints, the building up of this precious church that you love so much. So help us so that we can be helpful to these wonderful people, these brothers and sisters in Christ. We ask this in the name of your Son. Amen. So almost 2 years ago, Ellen and I met Snow White. There were no actually little birds or little creatures of the forest singing at our feet. There was no wicked witch present. There were no poisoned apples or anything of the sort. We met Snow White nonetheless in some snowy woods in the middle of the country of Bulgaria. Because this woman right here pictured for you, her name is Snezhanka, which in Bulgarian means Snow White or Snow Princess. And she had been, for the previous year before we met her, she had been the foster care mother of the little girl that she's holding right there along with her husband. That little girl is named Emily, and she is now our adopted daughter. She's in the back right now. Our story with Bulgaria begins with adoption. Actually 2008, so we're talking 10 years ago, just about here in the next week, we adopted our first daughter, who's about ready to turn 10 this coming weekend, from the state of Kansas. And several years later, we felt the Lord move on our hearts to consider the possibility of adopting again. And so we started the journey of filling out Ellen started the journey of filling out a lot of paperwork in early 2014. It took most of the year to do it. We started that process. And by early 2017, we were invited to come and meet the girl that we had been matched with for the first time from the country of Bulgaria, this little girl and her foster parents. So we went and met Emily for the first time. And that really kind of began a whole set of processes for us. We began to get to know the Mission to the World team that was already working in Bulgaria, along with getting to know a lot of Bulgarians in the process. And we named this little girl Emily Hope Snezhanka Berger, named after her foster mother and actually her birth mother, who also has the name Snezhanka. You, like me a few years ago, may not have actually known where Bulgaria is, but there it is. It's in Southeast Europe. It borders Turkey and Romania and Serbia and Macedonia and actually Greece there along the southern border and the Black Sea on the eastern border. It's a land that's very, very rich in history. This very stern-looking man over on the left is Tsar Boris I, and he was the first Tsar of Bulgaria and the first one to help bring Christianity to the country. He made Orthodoxy the official religion of Bulgaria. This is back in the 800s. So Bulgaria has had some kind of Christian witness in it for actually a very long time. There are monasteries like the one pictured on the right all over the country. It's also a land, though, that's much scarred with a history of oppression. And so the Ottoman Turkish Empire ruled over what is now Bulgaria for about 500 years, beginning in the late 1300s until the late 1800s. So it would be the Islamic Ottoman Turkish Empire. So the Bulgarian people had to hold on to their cultural distinctives, even their faith, and practice those things and keep those things fairly quiet and underneath the surface of Ottoman rule for about 500 years. Soon after their freedom from the Turks in the late 1800s, World Wars I and II were right around the corner. Bulgaria was forced into an alliance with Nazi Germany. One of the things that's interesting about Bulgaria, something that I'm actually kind of proud of, a lot of other Bulgarians are rightly proud of, is even though they were kind of forced into this alliance with the Nazis, Bulgarian leaders actually helped to rescue their Jewish population from Hitler's final solution. And so this plaque, this monument right here, is actually in Israel today, where the Israelites have kind of put this monument as kind of a thank you to Boris III, who was king of Bulgaria during the Holocaust, for his help in helping to hide Bulgarian Jews. After the end of the Nazi regime, of course, they got to have a new set of lovely tyrants in their land, the communists. And so as the Russians pushed the Nazis out in the 40s, the early 40s, in 1944, the Soviets claimed Bulgaria as part of what would later become the Iron Curtain and the Warsaw Pact soon after World War II. So it's a land that's known a lot of oppression. They're fearful of outsiders. When they think of outsiders, they think of those that would like to come and take advantage of them, because that's typically what they've known of outsiders for centuries. But Bulgaria is also near the birthplace of Christianity. Ellen and I have walked inside this little church here. This is the Church of St. George. It's the oldest church in the capital of Bulgaria, which is Sofia. And it was built by the Roman Christians in the 4th century, so the 300s. Most likely, this church right here played host to many of the bishops who had been part of the Council of Nicaea. Many of you may know the Nicene Creed. I know you sometimes will confess that in your worship services. Many of the bishops who helped to write the Nicene Creed kind of had, if you want to call it, an after party at this church here in Sofia, Bulgaria, where they got together to talk more about some of the Trinitarian doctrines of our faith. But even though that's the case, Bulgaria is now a land that is so far from the faith. It's not a land that we would typically want to think of as actually having a lot of true believers in it. That's not the case. And so over 80% of Bulgarians may claim Orthodox Christianity as being their own, but only a fourth of those people are even confident that God exists, right? So for a lot of Bulgarians, Orthodoxy is just kind of, it's what my mom did, what my grandmother did, it's been in my family all these years, but it's not necessarily something they hold to. Instead, about 20% of Bulgarians are avowedly agnostic or atheistic. And even those that are not agnostic or atheist and are practicing Orthodox Bulgarians, you know, they're caught up in so much superstition and caught up in so much kind of dead traditionalism that they really don't know the gospel or believe the gospel. So it's a country that's got beautiful churches. It's got symbols of theological truth all around them, and so much of their art and so much of their architecture. And yet what those things actually represent, the truths of who God is, the truths of who Christ is, the truths of His grace and His mercy, and the sacrifice of Christ on our behalf to save us from our sins, those things are not truly grasped and believed by very many Bulgarians at all. In fact, less than 1%. It's a land where the Protestant Reformation never really occurred. That's a really big deal. The Protestant Reformation had massive consequences for the future historical trajectory, if you will, of Europe and even now the West, what we would consider North America. It's a land where the Reformation never happened, like it did in Germany, like it did in France eventually, like it did in the English Isles, like it did in Scandinavia. It never happened. And yet Protestantism was able to finally make it there, largely through the work of this man. His name is Elias Riggs. You can see that he lived from 1810 to 1901. He was an American Presbyterian missionary to really that whole region. He went to Turkey and Greece, and then finally to Bulgaria. This church here in Sofia, the capital of Bulgaria, Solunska Church, is the first and oldest Protestant church in Bulgaria. It exists in downtown Sofia. It was helped to be started by this man. So what's Mission to the World doing in Bulgaria? Mission to the World showed up in Bulgaria soon after the Iron Curtain fell. So Mission to the World showed up in about the mid-90s. Yep. Thank you for asking that question. I'm assuming too much by saying it. Mission to the World is our denomination's missions agency. It's the missions agency of the Presbyterian Church in America. And so MTW, as it's often called, showed up in the mid-90s. To help start the work there. The current team leaders of all that's going on through the mission in Bulgaria right now, their names are Dal and Beth Stanton. And these are the people that we got to know and became friends with very closely as we were making trips over to Bulgaria during our adoption process. We got to know Dal and Beth well, and in fact, they invited us to stay with them in their apartment. We've spent quite a few nights with them. And so, beginning in the mid-90s, MTW started a church planting work there. They started a translation work there. They started a printing work. They actually set up a printing company in Bulgaria where they could start printing lots of theological works in Bulgarian. And the Bulgarian government was actually demanding that every single thing that they printed and translated into their language be put in all the libraries of Bulgaria, which was a wonderful thing for MTW, of course, at the time. And so there's ongoing church planting work going on there now. We'll talk a little bit later about some of the other ministries that are happening there. But another thing that got started in the mid-90s, along with that church planting work, is theological education, to begin training new pastors, new Bulgarian pastors, to start new churches and to strengthen already existing Protestant churches in Bulgaria. Right now, this gentleman pictured over to your right, his name is Stanislav Alexiev. He is a Bulgarian pastor, and he is head of the Elias Riggs Theological Seminary. So MTW named the school after this guy, Elias Riggs, and now a Bulgarian, Stanislav, is the president of that school. I've been called by MTW to come alongside and work under Stanislav. Stanislav is the president of the school, and as kind of Josh mentioned a little bit earlier, I've been asked to come alongside and kind of play the part of basically what would be kind of an academic dean, kind of overseeing the theological future of the school, its expansion, overseeing student follow-up, making sure that students' work is being evaluated well, coming alongside pastors in training, coming alongside others who are seeking theological education, helping them see how the things they're learning in class apply to their ministries where they are. Here's some pictures of classes happening at the Center for Biblical Studies. So when you think about what happens in theological education in Bulgaria, you can't really think of what happens at Covenant Theological Seminary or Reformed Theological Seminary here in the United States or Dallas Theological Seminary or Southwestern Baptist or any of those schools you might be familiar with. Because what happens in Bulgaria and frankly in a lot of the world is that most men who are called as pastors don't have the ability to just kind of move from whatever town they've grown up in and go to some far off land where a seminary is and kind of go to school for 3 or 4 years and kind of work themselves through school and then go off to church afterwards to their first calling. That's not typically what happens. Instead, what happens is most of these men are called to be pastors already in their churches. They're well known in their churches. They're respected. Maybe they're men of character. Maybe they can communicate well. And their congregation comes alongside them and says, "Would you be willing to be our pastor?" And they say, "Sure." And so they start the work of pastoral ministry without having had much formal theological education and then have to acquire it on the side later. So a lot of these men that you already see pictured here, they're already serving as pastors, but they're picking up their theological education along the way. And so what we do is provide them the ability to come to some of our retreat centers and basically have intensive courses over long weekends, call it 3 or 4 days, where we will teach a course or a really, really long introduction to a course, and then give them their class notes translated into Bulgarian, where they can take it with them back to their town or their city and work through the rest of the class notes, do the rest of the assignments, read the assigned readings, maybe write the papers, turn those things in, and then those things are graded later. So that's kind of the model that Elias Riggs has been using for quite some time. But we're also being called over there to do some other kinds of ministry over there, too.
Yes. So another part of our story that has brought us to Bulgaria, that the Lord has used to call us there, is in adopting Emily, God brought to our family a daughter with Down syndrome. And so this is where the special needs ministry that's going on in Bulgaria fits in more specifically with our family. And so God has been working in Bulgaria. There's some cracks in the wall with regards to the great need that there is for care of adults and kids with special needs. And what that looks like is that in Bulgarian culture, there's been a very shame-based view of special needs. And so throughout, you know, the last few centuries, if you were born with special needs, typically what happened is that you were hidden behind closed doors, or you were put in a government home if there was one, and your family may or may not have visited you. But society really didn't know what to do with that form of weakness. You know, we all do different things with our weakness to hide it if we are not shining the light of the gospel on it. And so in this area of weakness, the culture has tried to ignore it, but the Lord is working in this area. And so on the team, there's a lady named Grace Chung. I do have a picture of her. And she's an occupational therapist. And so in speaking with her, I've been finding out about more of those cracks in the walls that the Lord has been doing there to open doors in ministry within the special needs community. And so the government is very open to anyone who wants to go into homes where there are kids with special needs. And just like the home Emily was in for the first 10 months with 8 to 7 kids, the government has very little to no funding for therapies, so you can go in and you can love them, ask them how they feel that day, or offer therapies to them. And so short-term teams are going over. Grace Chung herself is going into one of these homes and offering care and love to these kids in this way. So the country, Bulgaria, is an EU country, and so they are getting more pressure from the West to continue to acknowledge these kids. But there are Christian groups like MTW, and then the call that God has placed on our family to take it a step further and to help them to see that we have a Savior who was one from whom men hid their faces, and he was despised and we esteemed him not. And so we can go in not as saviors, but people who have experienced our own weakness and seen our own lostness as lost sheep and maimed sheep and sheep that weren't worthy, to then introduce the Bulgarian culture to the Lamb who is worthy, but yet who was clothed in weakness. And so we can give dignity to special needs and see ourselves too in light of needing a Savior and one and those who are weak, so that we might point them to Him who is strong. And so we see that being a part of our role in Bulgaria as we go. We have a lot to learn about the resources that are available for Emily, but we will just jump in where we can and love where we can, and also learn how to help grow and build the special needs community in Sofia.
Grace Chung is one of the team members over there, as Ellen just said, and she's one of quite a few. There's about 15 to 20 adults over there. Some of them are single, some of them are married with families. So it's a fairly decent sized team. I think that the MTW team in Bulgaria is one of the larger teams that MTW has. There's lots of different kinds of ministry going on over there, and so All of the people that you see up there have kind of their hands in different kinds of ministry that's happening. There's church planting, mission to the world, everything, all the ministries, all the heartbeat, if you want to call it, or the philosophy of ministry of mission to the world is church planting. And so everything else that MTW does, wherever it exists, is really around the central goal of planting and advancing the church. So church planting is the heartbeat of MTW. All the other ministries are there as a way to kind of demonstrate to the culture, hey, the kingdom of God is breaking in here. The church is breaking in. And we're affecting the culture in bigger, wider ways. But what we really want is to gather worshipers to churches that are being planted. One of the most successful ministries right now over there is the English ESL, teaching English as a second language to Bulgarians. Because as Bulgarians learn English, it opens up lots of different job opportunities for them. And so it's something that a lot of Bulgarians, particularly younger Bulgarians, are really interested in. And so that ministry has grown a lot. I think they had their largest ESL summer camp this year that they've ever had. And we have a number of missionaries over there who are helping to teach Bulgarians principles for small businesses, business tactics, helping them to think about how to get their own businesses going or growing. We have some team members that are going in, they're basically either establishing more sort of regular sports teams or formal sports teams, or sometimes just starting with students or kids and having pickup games of soccer. One of the probably most well-known ministries right now with MTW is called the Daughters of Bulgaria Ministry, which is now something that the team leaders, I showed you a picture of Dal and Beth Stanton earlier, they spend a lot of their time working with the Daughters of Bulgaria Ministry, which is combating sex trafficking in Bulgaria through relationship building and through small business development and rehabilitation. And so what the Daughters of Bulgaria started several years ago, when it became clear to the team, the MTW team, that Bulgarian women, a much disproportionate number of Bulgarian women were showing up as trafficked slaves, oftentimes in a sexual sense, in other countries. In the West, in the United States, in England, in Southeast Asia. And so they started to realize that Bulgaria was becoming an exporter in that sense. And so what they did was they started going out every Sunday night. Women from the MTW team would go out on Sunday nights and begin talking to Bulgarian prostitutes on the street and hearing their stories and getting to know them over the course of years, taking Christmas gifts to them and holiday gifts to them and their children. And they started to realize as they got to know these women, none of those women were there by choice, not one. They haven't found one yet that's there by choice. They had all been smuggled or taken as a young girl or as a teenage girl, taken off the street, led astray, kidnapped, and been forced into this work. And then after having children, oftentimes their children are held as collateral against them to make sure they don't leave. And so what MTW has done is begin building relationships with these women to slowly show them ways in which they can get out, them and their families. And so that's one of the significant works that's happening right now in MTW's work there in Bulgaria. It's called Daughters of Bulgaria. There's also something called the Rose Garden Project. I don't think I have a slide for that. But the Rose Garden Project is actually a rehabilitation center that has been set up there in Sofia as well that can house a few different women and their children so they can have a place to live after they decide to leave the streets while they can become educated and also learn how to start running a business for themselves, a small business, just to make enough income so they don't have to go back to their previous life. That's becoming a kind of a ministry that kind of involves a lot of networking, and so a lot of the leadership of Daughters of Bulgaria is starting to really network with other anti-trafficking ministries that are taking place across Europe and some even in North America as well. And so the goal of MTW in Bulgaria is showing the love of Christ. This is kind of our mission statement, if you will. showing the love of Christ in order to make known the hope of Christ. Like I said a minute ago, church planting is at the center, but all the other things that are going on in Bulgaria, and there's a few more I didn't talk about this morning just for sake of time, but all the other things happening is to kind of demonstrate to the Bulgarian culture and that the kingdom of God is breaking in where they are. We're tearing down satanic strongholds and then building up structures of mercy and grace. So we show the love of Christ so that then we have the opportunity to make known the hope of Christ in the gospel. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. I share these verses with you from Ephesians 1 because they are, in some sense, kind of life verses for Ellen and I as we even think about our own story of adoption, our story of adopting Aubrey, our story of adopting Emily, and how the Lord has adopted all of us who call upon the name of Christ as his sons and daughters. So here are needs for prayer. So passage we come back to often in Colossians 4, where Paul is asking for the Colossians to pray for him. We need prayer that God would continue to do his work of convincing us of his power and willingness to establish us and use us where he's leading us. I get the sense, even as I talk to missionaries who've been on the field for 10 or 15 or 20 years, this is always a prayer request for them. That God would give us an increased joy in being found in Christ as he slowly removes idols from our hearts. This process of going over to Bulgaria has been very revealing of our own idolatry, and it will continue to be. And you can pray that we will continue to walk with the Lord in repentance as he shows idols to us and seeks to replace them with Christ. You can pray for continued unity in our family and in our marriage. You can pray for language acquisition. Bulgarian is not an easy language to learn. It's not the hardest, but it's not the easiest. It uses a different alphabet than we do. It uses Cyrillic like Russian does. So Ellen and Aubrey have already started working pretty hard on learning the language pretty well. We're kind of at the point where we can usually sound out words right now, but that doesn't necessarily mean we know what the word means at all. Just because we can sound it out or read it, that's kind of where we are. And of course, you can continue to pray for financial support. As far as financial support goes, we're about 85% of the way to reaching our monthly goal. And MTW also gives you kind of a lot of one-time costs that you need to raise that basically are all associated with kind of moving and getting you over there and visas and all the stuff you kind of have to do on the front end. And the Lord has been so kind, he's enabled us to raise all of that already. So right now we're kind of working on monthly support and we're about 85% of the way there. We still need about $1,700 a month to reach 100%. Here's some contact information for us. You can go to MTW's website and just search for Berger using the missionary search engine, and you can read some more about our profile there. You can also find out more about, there's a whole lot of things I didn't tell you about what MTW is doing in Bulgaria right now, just for sake of time. You can go to mtwbg.com, which is kind of the team's website, and find out more about all the things that are going on in the country.